You're listening to episode 13 of the Where Your Keys Language Fluency Game podcast with me, Willem Larson, recorded on April 2nd, 2010. Evan interviewing Kirsten Walker, one of our Chinook Wawa speakers and game leaders. Of course, everybody who comes to Chinook Wawa at night at the Where Your Keys Immersion House learns to teach Chinook Wawa along with speaking it. So Kirsten has run a game, and Evan is interviewing her about how it went. Also, later, after the Chinook Wawa night is over, like usual, Evan and I sit down and debrief how the night went. This is a very important piece of Where Your Keys, and Evan begins by explaining to Kirsten why he's recording the debrief of her game.
So our whole goal is so that we can teach people enough language and enough teaching skill so that they can go off and replicate this to as many people as possible.
Okay.
Right? Of a sort of a viral effect. So what we want to know is, what did you do? How did you set it up? Why did you do this? Tell us what you did, who you did this with, how it went, what happened, what specifically did you do, what techniques did you use, that kind of thing. That's what we're going for.
Okay. Well, I had a gathering of women to do some work for the fort, and we all were sewing, and I took aside the six young ladies who are in my craft class at the fort, and they range in ages from, I think, 8 or 9 up to 17. And I laid out a needle, a scissor, a stone, and thread. And we did the, what is this? What is this? What is this? This is. Going around just those four items. And then we added the Chinook jargon and repeated it in Chinook.
Wait, did you, the first time you went around, did you do it in sign language?
We did it with the American Sign Language,
Okay. Just
like we did in the Where Are Your Keys exercise. So
right.
Exactly
right.
The same.
Right.
I didn't invent anything new.
Hey. You probably did. We just haven't got there yet.
Okay. And then we did the four verbs, I mean, have, want, give, take. And we did the I, my, you, your,
nice.
Her, hers. And we didn't have any he's. Oh, I think we used the dog. We had to use somebody else because it was all women.
Nice.
But we did not go into the plurals.
Mm-hmm. What did you do? You said there was a dog there?
There was a dog. There was a male dog.
Nice.
So then we just worked that, and then we did some simple sentences just like we did in the Where Are Your Keys? I have thread. Who wants? No, we didn't do who. Do you want thread?
Oh, great.
And we all did the affirmative. Yes, I want thread.
Great.
I give you my thread. Thank you. You're welcome.
Nice.
So we always added thank you and you're welcome because kids need to learn deportment. It's big at the fort.
Oh, okay. What fort are you talking about?
Just Fort Vancouver in Vancouver, okay. Washington. The first Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing that happened is we did that for about an hour. And I didn't realize quite how much time had passed. And then I needed to take a break. So I turned to the oldest girl on my left to answer a question about something else. And I hear on my right, one of the younger girls then just asking the other one, well, can I have your stone then?
In Chinook?
In Chinook.
Nice.
I was amazed. And then they talked about how they can use that in interacting with the public, and they liked the American Sign Language because now they've learned to work with blind people now. They're going to feel more comfortable with deaf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we have a deaf school over there, so we could definitely be interacting with deaf people.
Definitely, the Washington School for the Deaf, right there
in
Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Right. Do they ever come to the fort?
Like
a field trip or something?
I think they do. I have not happened to be there at the time, but it's definitely possible. And if they find out we're signing at all, they probably will show up.
Totally. Yeah, they're on the way right now.
They'll just want to see us.
You better go, quick.
Entertainment value.
So out of curiosity, how did you set up the table? Like, did you do it like
we were sitting on the floor?
Lotus?
No, we sat on the floor in a circle the way we would be sitting at an event.
Oh.
Because we portray the Métis, which are mixed blood folk.
Uh-huh.
And then I just put the items four items in the center of the circle kind of spaced apart so we could point to them.
Okay, nice.
And then we moved them near each person to indicate who's in possession of each of them. Uh-huh. And then they all threw out something extra. If they had an extra pair of scissors, we had like two or three pairs of scissors and an extra thread. So we were making combinations of things so that you could make something.
Oh, nice.
And so now we need to add vocabulary.
Uh-huh. Did you have beads?
We did not have beads. Uh-huh. We stuck with thread. It was 1 hour.
Right. Threads, I'm just curious.
Thread, scissors.
limit.
A stone. Thread, scissors, a stone. I forgot what the fourth thing was.
Why did you pick a stone?
I had one and I knew what the word was. Okay. You have to play to your strengths.
Yes.
Needle.
Yes, you do.
Needle. Threads, needle was the... Needle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the four things we had.
Nice. Well, we were doing a different thing with Dustin Rivers up in Squamish, and we went to this toy store up in Vancouver so that we could have some...
The second Vancouver, the one that came afterwards.
Gastown, yes. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to get some stuff at the dollar store so that we would have some props here in Portland that matched his props in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
BC, Gastown. Mm-hmm. And we ended up getting this snake, this little toy snake. Mm-hmm. Great little prop. But turns out, like, how often do you use the word snake in conversation?
Only, well, and I don't. I just scream and run, so it's not a useful word. I don't have time to discuss this thing.
So that's why I was wondering why you use stone, because they're with
it was literally, I had them, and I knew the words for the thread, needle, and scissors.
Why did you have a stone?
And I went and got one in the garden. Nice. I was going to go with the stick, but then I had four things with that, so.
Great, great. Why did you pick four things?
Probably because we did it in class.
Oh.
I don't know. I was, like I said, I didn't invent anything new. I just thought four was a good number. Have we used four a lot?
No, we just.
It seemed to work.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But then they did want to go into strawberry, and I didn't know strawberry. I didn't know class, so I'm here to learn more vocabulary because they are like little sponges, but they're dry, so they can take a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So. They're looking forward to the next time we do this. So.
Great. Why did you decide to take them off at that moment? Did you just like notice an opportunity to say, "Hey, come here with me"? Was there some expectation on you to do that, or
no? You kind of said, "You could do it. You can do it." When I said I couldn't, I thought, yeah. "Well, this isn't the real class. This is outside of class. Let's see if it works." Oh, I did a little group in class, and one girl was brilliant. Mm-hmm. The other girl was not so brilliant because she couldn't let it go. But we worked on that. We worked on that wasn't allowable. You know, didn't
it? Fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm the queen of mean. It's a joke, but I told her she couldn't do that because I had my hitting stick. I have a wooden knitting needle that I threaten and never hit anybody. But she was in this group, and her eyes looked like she was more relaxed and like she was like, let's do this again. Like, it wasn't so bad.
Great.
And we'd only done 10 minutes in class, so then she sat down, and she was doing really good, and I was so excited about it.
Right. So she was letting it go. She wasn't trying
she
to...
She was, and she got it all. She got it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. You know, people, they want to riddle through it. They're like, no, I need to know what every word means. I need to know how it works. And it's like, let it go. Figure it out later. That's great. So,
and she was so tense, she couldn't remember key put, which... key and put shouldn't be difficult because they're both English words,
right,
and she's an American English speaker. But I would say key put, and she couldn't even remember key put at first because she was so tense. But then she relaxed, and once you relax, you can learn a lot more. So she relaxed, and she got it, and she was kind of happy because her impression of herself is that language is not her thing. And her sister even said, language is not your thing.
It's nice.
Definitely her thing. She's
great.
It's enough of her thing.
So. Did you use any techniques? Did you mark any techniques, or did you just use them, or how did that go?
We did this signing with it, repeating back, and dret, and repeating back exactly what they said.
Did you mark the techniques? Like, hey, we're going to do technique.
No,
copycat.
I didn't do any of that.
Nice. Did you throw any How Fascinatings?
Yes.
Did they catch on? Did they like that?
They did that for something else later on that night when they couldn't remember the word. We were still there like almost midnight, and they couldn't remember the name of some food, and one of them went, How Fascinating.
Nice. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
So they're using it in English, which is good, because these techniques are really good in everything.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we want people to do, is even if they're just living a little, living these techniques and just having that relaxed.
No, I got really excited about the techniques, although I don't articulate them. But one day when Thomas was going to lead the group, and he had his crib sheet of techniques, and I just like, yay! I want to know about that. That so makes sense because it so goes with the way I do things in my class. But I didn't have, you know, I had never talked to anybody to like name them or anything.
So you got the list of techniques that we made as the printout?
No. Here's what happened.
Just in my head.
Written down list.
For the last several years, I've been marking techniques in class, and so Thomas went home and he wrote them down. And then one day we went back to class and Thomas pulled out the sheet and he's like, you know, let's talk some techniques today. And so he had him cut up like fortune cookie slips, like little slips of fortune cookie papers. And he was like, okay, who can give me an example of, you know, how fascinating? Or who can give me an example of two words, same sentence? And so we had a really nice discussion about that. Yeah, and so that's when
I got excited. They really did. I got...
And
so
I think your word from that night was like, "Oh, it's the classroom culture that we're talking about here."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
I'm trying to instill at our school, is for everybody to be really nice to each other, and that we meet each person where they are. Mm-hmm. That's how I've been saying it.
Right.
But that's what you were saying too. Yeah. You know that we don't try to one up anybody, and that's what you're saying in this class.
Mm-hmm.
So the culture to make learning more natural and not to make people resistant to it. If you're constantly poking at somebody, constantly correcting them in, you know, kind of an improper way, you know, you can do it really nicely with a smile, or you can say, you know, like being correcting them, like, no, it's Kirsten.
Yeah.
everybody calls me Christina, but it's really Kirsten. It's much nicer, much softer.
Yeah.
No. And I'll still give you a bad time if you can't spell it now, but that's another topic. But
the trick is to laugh
a lot, because when you laugh, things sneak in there you didn't even know.
And that's the thing. We're not doing anything different. Like, you're doing the same things that we're doing.
Yeah.
The only thing that we're doing really is kind of putting some names on them.
Yeah.
And we don't need the names necessarily.
No, but it helps.
Yeah.
And it's neat that this place reinforces what makes me comfortable.
Good.
Because I think people learn a lot more when they come. I know I do.
Yeah.
And I just like issue any situation that's uncomfortable. Because I'm too old for that. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
If somebody yells at me, it's like, I won't hear you. I literally can't tell what you're saying now because you're yelling, and all I'm doing is, how do I get out of here? You know, I don't care what you're saying because I'm not going to spend any more time with you anyway. I don't care how right you are.
Shields up.
You know. So I don't want to be that person
out of
in my kid's life.
Exactly. Out of curiosity, what would you have done differently next time? Would you do anything differently next time? Anything
I think
at all?
I quit at just the right time.
Good.
I would not have let anybody bring a strawberry into the circle, because I did not remember the name for strawberry.
Limit.
And all I knew,
limit technique,
I did
limit.
Know ulali.
Uh-huh.
Then I made the mistake of saying, and there's this really neat berry, I can't remember which one it is, and I named it, and darn if they don't remember that. And it's like, I said, this is a berry, I don't really know what it is. They remember the name, but so I have to find out what that one is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remember strawberry amuti.
Good.
So now they can have the amuti in the group.
Good. Good. Couldn't do it before.
Yeah.
But
we established
the
rule of don't bring anything to the circle I don't know about. You know.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass the teacher. That's our new rule.
So they have to vet it through you.
Yeah, I think so.
That they bring in. Yeah. Is this okay, teach?
The question can be in their eye. That's okay.
That's plenty.
But they're really respectful. It's a good group of girls to start with. But
so how many were there in that circle?
Six. Five to start, and the one that's usually a little standoffish, and the one that likes to play one-upmanship, and all her. I was a little uncomfortable with her coming to the circle. She was great.
Oh, good.
And then we talked about that later, about her maturity.
Nice.
So there were a lot of other learning experiences, because I worked with these girls for a couple years now, and one of them I've known a long time.
Oh,
so
good.
So they're Yeah, but they all respected me and played the game really well.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So that was nice. Just so many good things.
Yeah, all right, well, I think that about wraps up. Do you have any questions for you?
The best moment, what was your best moment?
When I was full and talked, just went into English, and the little girl behind me, who I think is 9 years old, just turned and tried to ask a question. She didn't pronounce things right, but she was so intent. I mean, I turned to look at her and just watch her, and she was leaning forward and really talking to, I think, her sister and one of the girls anyway. And, and they're going to come back. They're going to have it solid because they're related to one another.
So what happened? I don't understand that.
She turned and she was speaking. She was using her verbs, her possessives, and the four nouns to ask for something.
When you turned your back.
When I turned my back.
Yeah, yeah. So that's technique, look in the bag. So you'll notice me doing this sometimes. Like, we'll be doing something, and I'll go, oh, hang on a second, guys. And I'll, like, pretend to look around for something.
Oh, and we practice the language.
Yes, that's a full-on...
To see if we're... How engaged we are.
No. It's not like a test. It's not. It just takes the heat off. It's like, oh, teacher's out of the room.
Because sometimes I go, oh, my God.
What are you guys going to do?
Yeah. No, and so I'll just go like this. I'll be like, oh, hang on a second. I'll be right back.
And I'll just look for something.
Oh, I didn't find it so well.
Didn't find it. Oh, yeah. Oh, what were you guys talking about?
Oh, I didn't think about that. But that would be a good one to use in class. Because they do start to, you see the eyes start to glaze. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good one.
Look in the bag.
I don't know that one.
In the bag. Even if I don't have a bag, I've done this before, and I just, like, lean over and pretend to open a bag that isn't even here, and I'm looking through a bag that isn't even here.
We don't know what... We just thought you were a little touched.
I know. Yeah, and then you don't look at me because it's embarrassing.
And it has the desired effect.
Well, that's a good idea. I will definitely use that. I'll use that in the other subjects, too.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Well, thank you very much for talking with us here. And we're about to. In the background, you've been hearing Chinookwawa Night at the Werribee's Immersion House in Portland, Oregon. My name's Evan Gardner. Also,
Willem Larson,
Kirsten Walker.
Good night.
Later on that evening, Evan and I sat down together and debriefed how the whole night went. Here's Evan.
Yeah. Tonight. We did a different walk.
Mm-hmm. So we went all the way. Another long walk.
And what we did was we went down to the chickens.
Uh-huh.
And on our way back, we didn't actually get to the chickens, but we got right down to the end of the street there.
Uh-huh.
And then where the cat is sitting in the window
uh-huh.
all the time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then Mary says, hey, let's go across the street and come back on the other side of the street.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay. So we go across the street. And then people were like, well, hey, what's down this block?
Uh-huh.
Like, let's go exploring a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right. If we're going to go exploring, then let's explore as though we are creating a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically showed everyone technique of the walk.
Okay.
How do we design a walk? What
okay.
are we looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And that went really well. Mm-hmm. Everyone was, you know, looking at things with their new the walk eyes
mm-hmm.
on and mm-hmm. trying to pinpoint obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into a couple arguments about like, well, nobody would really argue with whether or not that there's a connected house over
uh-huh.
there. Just like this house is two separate houses, but they share a wall.
Right.
So somebody was like, well, are those two houses next to each other? Are those two houses connected?
Right.
Is it one house with two residents? There was all this confusion stuff
yeah.
going along. So it was like, all right, that's not obviously.
Right.
Well, it is obviously. And I was like, is it?
Yeah.
And I kind of was able to go right down the line and say, well, what is this house? And they're like,
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically held up a stick and said, what is this? A stick. Okay, well, there we go.
Yeah, right.
Not obviously.
Right.
But we did end up being able to say, well, that's one house with two doors. One that goes into one
mm-hmm.
and the other one that goes into another one.
Huh.
So we were able to kind of, you know, salvage it a bit.
Huh.
It makes it into a nice actual visual piece. But everybody got to go around and people were really paying attention to what was a good prop. What was a good thing to stop at? What was
uh-huh.
a not obvious thing? How to deal with limit? Because there's also all these plants.
Uh-huh.
There's native plants, and there's also all these ornamental plants. We're in the middle of a suburb. So
right.
there's all these introduced plants and
uh-huh.
and non-native cherry trees. And so, you know, how do we deal with all that stuff? And, you know, just limiting and
Yeah.
And deciding which things are important to hit on the walk. So that's what we did for that extra long walk.
Oh, awesome.
So, and people generally would like to go up to the chickens and then down around the block to make a circle instead of going up the same street and back down.
So that's addressing that issue of the walk was an invisible technique to them before, pretty much. They didn't realize how designed it was.
Right.
And that's addressing that ongoing issue of some of the folks who come to Chinook Conversation Night still don't understand how designed everything we do is and how prevalent Where Your Keys is, you know. And then so you get these comments like, oh, yeah, well, when we were done playing Where Your Keys, then we had that really good conversation about, you know, the baskets or playing cards or, you know, then we went on the walk and just had fun. It's like, well, actually, that was still Where Your
Keys. Still planned.
I mean, it was like, you know, we're going to have to come up with a better way to talk about that.
Mm. Yeah, and that came up also with, you know, there were some people who were sick of playing with the sticks and stones.
Right. Oh, well, great.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm done with playing with sticks and stones. So I recommended, well, okay, let's just talk then.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, the topics that people wanted to talk about, they didn't have enough vocabulary
right.
to actually flesh out a conversation because they haven't played with the sticks and rocks enough to be able to say, well, kind of like your classic move, well, where is the rock?
Yeah.
This rock is above the table,
right.
or this rock is sitting on the dollar bill, which is sitting in the table, which is sitting in the living room, that's next to, you know, all these placement issues, and you know, well, how many rocks are there, how many rocks are sitting on the table, how many rocks are on the table versus below the table, you know, these very simple constructions that people sort of take for granted as like, oh, that's too simple.
Right, right.
Well.
And then they can't.
And then they can't have a conversation because now they don't have this simple vocabulary to build on.
There's really something where in order to really master language hunting, you have to fall in love with the craft of language hunting, not language acquisition.
Mm.
You really have to fall in love with, you know, mastering setup and mastering limit and mastering, obviously, and the relationship to the fluent fool and finding out what are the topics people enjoy. Because if it really is just about language acquisition, yeah, it's going to get boring. I mean, you're going to be talking like a baby for a while, you know, that's kind of the whole point, you know, and you know, and if you try and skip stuff, you're going to have big gaps in your, you know, language ability. So really it's like settle in and get really good at language hunting itself. That's why I like those Actful cards, you know, with the different topics on them, you know, like here's, you know.
Let me talk about these Actful cards here. I went to an Actful American Council on Teaching Foreign Languages language proficiency testing conference in, San Antonio, Texas. I went, I think it was 2 years ago now. It might have been 3 years ago. Paid $1,000 for the week-long course, plus my travel and hotel in San Antonio, Texas, from Portland. So the whole week ran me about $2,000.
Uh-huh.
Very good workshop, very professional. I'd recommend it to any teacher of any language. I would also recommend it to any student of any language. Why they don't talk about this until you're a graduate student is insane. It really costs a lot of people a lot of time in their language acquisition because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know where they're supposed to be going. We have, at Where Your Keys, have summarized the Actful proficiency scale from this one-week conference to a two-minute conversation called Travels with Charlie. And then it's pair technique, Sorry Charlie, and it's other pair technique, which is We Will All Get There Together.
Right.
Being able to push and pull all of the participants in the language up the scale, the Actful proficiency scale, novice, intermediate, advanced, superior. What I have in my hands here are the official Actful cards that I got from that workshop, which I have not copied or given away.
Right, correct.
But I've certainly shown everyone who comes in contact with me so that they really have an idea of where they're going and what specifically they're supposed to be hunting.
And they're colored cards. Green is...
intermediate.
Orange cards. You have what, a half dozen or so of each color?
Yeah, maybe 10 of each color.
10 of each color?
Yeah, so there's green intermediate, there's orange advanced, and yellow superior.
Right.
So we've got some Mr. Rogers at the green, which is a lot of get-to-the-party stuff.
Right.
A present tense, asking a lot of questions. We have the orange cards, which are situations with complications involving some storytelling. So you've got past, present, future tenses in a paragraph format, and the role-playing cards generally have a situation attached to them, and the advanced has a difficulty in the situation.
Right.
The intermediate cards don't have any difficulty.
Right.
It's a lot of like, well, how do you get to the party?
Yeah. Well, and quite literally, the what we do with the ACTFL scale, where we go, novice is Tarzan at the party. Well, that's not even, there's no language ability there, essentially. So that's not even, doesn't even have an ACTFL card.
Well, the role-playing card that's attached. In
yeah, exactly.
Because there's no role-playing that a novice can do.
Yeah, just listing. And
yeah.
Well, so, you know, the intermediate card would be getting to the party. And literally, you know, when we do the ACTFL scale, we do basically the getting to the party.
Let me read you one of the cards. You're having an interview for a babysitting job. Ask the parent 4 or 5 questions to find out everything you need to know.
Intermediate.
You're left alone in a room with a friend's grandparent. Make a polite conversation with him or her while you wait for your friend.
Yes.
So basically ask grandma and grandpa some questions.
Intermediate.
Lots of questions. Your neighbor's going on vacation, has asked you to take care of his things while he's away. Ask 4 or 5 questions to find out what you need to know.
Right.
You go to the library to find some books, but you need to ask the person at the desk. You go to a hotel. You need to describe what kind of room you want. You're looking for an apartment. Ask several questions. You want to rent an apartment. Ask several questions. You missed your plane to New York. Ask the person 4 or 5 questions to find out what you need to know to get to New York quickly. Here's the classic one where we do the novice, Tarzan at the party.
Right.
Intermediate, get to the party. Well, here's the intermediate card from ACTFL. A friend calls and invites you to a party. You need to know more details about the party before you accept or decline the invitation. Ask several questions in order to get the information you need.
Yes.
Well, there it is.
If that was a mystery to anybody, why we're always talking about the party.
That's it. Now, then we take that to the next level, the advanced role-playing card.
Yeah.
You borrowed a friend's car and had a slight accident.
Mm.
Call your friend, explain what happened. So you're going to use some past tense there. Mm-hmm. Describe the damage, mm-hmm. present tense, and offer a solution,
yeah.
future tense.
Right.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, right.
Paragraphed form, past, present, future, and generally with some kind of complication. But that's a kind of a detail. And let's see. So a lot of this, describing what happened. You missed an important exam and have made an appointment with your teacher. Explain what happened and try to arrange for a makeup exam.
Yes.
So talk about what happened in the past. Try to arrange something for the future. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, what happened at the party last night. And then we have the superior cards, which are yellow, which talk about, different situations that could be, economic, social, political, God's eye view, Charlie Rose style. Or what if parties were illegal? Let's see, where's a nice... All right, now here's the yellow cards.
Yeah.
And those are... here's an example. Someone asks you about the dilemma facing many countries today concerning the balance between economic growth and development and environmental protection. Discuss the dilemma and take a stand supporting your opinion. Hmm. So what if parties were illegal? This meta-conversation, social, economic, political, cultural,
right.
Hypothesis, speech, format,
right.
Opinion, and hypothesis. So, handed these cards out tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted everybody to have a really good idea of what the actual expectations were of being an intermediate speaker.
Yes.
Can you perform those kind of intermediate functions?
Right. Right.
Can you perform advanced functions or superior functions? Very scientific, evidence-based manner. A lot of them were surprised at how much it takes to be an intermediate speaker.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh, I need more.
Right.
And so we basically said, well, what do you need?
Yeah.
And then now pick one of these topics and now start language hunting us for this kind of specific information.
Right. So for ACTFL, those are diagnostic. They're telling where you're at. But for us... those are prescriptive. Take one of these and see if you can answer this. Hunt until you can answer this question.
hunt Fluent Fools, hunt the rest of the speakers here, and get to the point where now you can answer fully that question.
And if you can answer one of these questions, chances are you can answer any of them.
Right.
It's basically the same vocabulary, just sort of repackaged into different scenarios.
Right.
But really, so if you can get, so that's why we say, if you can get to the party, chances are you can get all these other functions done also.
Right. Right.
So that's why we just limit it to telling people, look, if you can get to a party, you're probably advanced.
Right.
If you can talk about what happened at the party last night, well, I'm sorry, if you can get to the party, you're probably intermediate.
Right.
If you can tell me about what happened, you're probably advanced.
Right.
Generally. Right. Sure, there's some issues in there that would need to be flushed out. If you can tell me why parties are illegal, mm-hmm. or why you think parties should be illegal, well, you have an ability to at least dabble in
right.
the superior,
right.
which chances are you're certainly then advanced,
right.
and maybe even superior.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the fascinating things of applying Where Are Your Keys to other languages and cultures is retooling these questions to culturally appropriate spheres. So, like, you know, if you're working with reindeer herders in Siberia, well, you're going to be asking way different questions than what's printed on these cards for, you know, first world modern American, you know, you know, but then they're all going to be pegged in the same way, though. They're going to be intermediate, advanced, superior, you know. They're going to be addressing issues of questions and sentences, advanced paragraphs, storytelling, past, present, and future, and superior social talk about the greater issues of society and abstract,
which can also include specifically cultural details like a longhouse language,
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. you know, ceremony language,
mm-hmm. Dialects, the formal dialects, formal speech.
Exactly. So those can
special
also be
speech
addressed inside that actual
male to male speech, female to female speech.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to mention a little bit about what I did with Ryan.
Yes, do tell.
So our one of our veterans of our February workshop here in Portland.
So he came to a two-day workshop.
Every once in a while, this might have been really the third time he's popped in here, and every time he pops in for about a half hour to 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The most an hour.
No, I don't think he's been here an hour.
Well,
no. That first day he was here an hour because he went on the walk with us.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah,
he really just pops in and out, and I get to have a short sort of experience with him and run a short game with him. I've run a game with him every time he's come.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of fun to build on what we did before and then see what else we can add to it. And actually this time we didn't add a whole lot. We mostly added to his confidence.
Hmm.
But he does know a few numbers that he didn't know before. He can count now.
To what?
To four.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And fluently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nice.
There's counting, and then there's being able to go,
bam.
Oh, I want three of your black pens if you give me four of those sticks, you know, or whatever. You
nice.
Know, like, so he can count fluently up to
mm-hmm.
four. And I tweaked some of his signs. You know, I worked on the bridge language a little bit,
mm-hmm.
his sign language. I gave him a couple new techniques.
What?
Poke and slap.
Nice.
He was sort of mixing up his me, mine, you know? Yeah, so there's the poke and slap we've discussed in other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I told him that, I just straight up told him, like, your technique to work on from now on is how fascinating.
Oh, that's what you guys were doing, because you were how fascinating all over the place.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and you know the reason why we were how fascinating all over the place is because he frequently does the thing that triggers it, which is scrunch up the eyebrows. Ooh, I did it wrong.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was not, like, excessive. It was a one-to-one to when he narrowed the pipe, you know,
yeah.
when he, like, tensed up,
yeah.
you know. And so he was really, by the end, he was getting, you know, pretty good at it. And we also had this really cool moment where I did a bit of, like, just explaining technique with them, because I was, you know, I get into that thing where I push language proficiency,
mm-hmm.
and I don't necessarily work people's language hunting,
mm-hmm.
so that when I step away from the table, basically they go, gosh, I hope Willem comes back and teaches me more cool stuff, rather than, okay, who else do I hunt? You know?
Now that Willem's taught me how to hunt.
Yeah, now that Willem's
taught me. The world is my oyster.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more instead like, of, gosh.
Wow, that was amazing. Willem is the best teacher ever. I hope he lives forever.
Yeah, go to his $1,000 seminar. Yeah. You know, it's an hour. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I told him, I was like, you know, this, I was just up front, you know, full disclosure, my tendency is to push proficiency over hunting. So I want you to hunt me. I just said that. It wasn't necessarily, just saying that actually helped me to remind myself to make sure I got him language hunting, definitely. Which, you know, in some cases, just him asking questions back, setting up in threes, asking for Craigslists. Just throwing techniques, not waiting for me to throw the technique. And if I don't throw it, going, oh, well, I guess it's not necessary for right now. But, like, pushing the techniques, you know, making sure he gets what he needs, right? I'll tell you one thing. He was tremendously aware of his full. He was, like, he totally knew when, you know, when he wasn't full. And we kept going until he was just got full. I mean, it was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. His eyes were, like, way more sparkly and sort of self-aware than he'd been the last couple of times.
And you know,
time really, number three.
Yeah, and honestly, when he got up and left,
he could still have a conversation.
Yeah, because when he was like saying goodbye to me, I pulled out my dollar. I'm like, hey, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he didn't know how to say dollar.
Right.
Have you not played the dollar with him?
No.
I guess you haven't. No. So he was like
sick and rock.
Yeah.
So pens.
Really great, because he said. And he held up his hand for Echt, and then he went Echt, and then because he knows the sign for dollar, he like did the sign, and with his inquisitive eyes, were like, "Okay, help me out here."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh,
he just hunted it right out of you."
And then Uguk,
yeah,
he did just hunted it beautifully out of me. And I realized at that moment, while I was helping him through that you guys had never used the word dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And but didn't matter.
Did not matter.
Didn't even matter. There wasn't even a skip.
Yeah,
because he just like, oh, Echt. Asked me for the word, right, Dala and Uguk. Okay, great. Yeah. And because I knew that that's what was happening, I threw the word right in. There was no, like...
Just done counting. So I've never done that, you know. Never done the $1, but he'd just done counting. So he knew. It's weird. It's like he read our minds that you say... Well, of course, he knew the signs, but...
Isn't that reading our minds?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And allowing us to read each other's minds?
Exactly,
and,
yeah. It was pretty cool. He still... You know, just took really good care of himself. Mm-hmm. Well, and so there's this thing that riddled me this. So there were two new things I gave him. One was this funny grammar structure that's in Chinook, which is sort of similar to, I want that rock, which is on top of the stick, which is on top of the table, which is sitting in the room. So it's that which. Now, doesn't, you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
But it's a thing like that, right? And so I did this thing where I gave him another, I'll translate it in English, but of course it's not exactly that, but for the sake of explanation, back. So I'm going to come back. You give me that back, you know.
I'm going to hand you my dollar, but I want it back.
Back, right. So that what I did was I set up really well, I might add, a conversation where he got that. And what was so cool was I set it up, and then I was like, back. And he was like, oh, okay. That's exactly what he said. He said, oh, okay, right? And then, and then we worked it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was like total green light, didn't need it translated. And then when you came up and you had a conversation with him, he said, does that mean, you know, and you said kilopie, you know, you said the word and he said, oh, that means back, right?
You guys had already sussed that out.
We'd already sussed that out.
He talked to me like that was new information.
Right. Right.
Oh, so, weird.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened?
Interesting.
So what happened was so I was like, after that, I was like, I'd already discussed with him, like, when he was like, oh, okay, yeah. When he had that moment of, oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. When he understood what it meant in real world objects, relationships, passing back and forth. So he didn't know the English translation, but he knew what it meant.
Yeah.
in terms of physical bodies
right.
interacting.
Right.
And I think there's a real problem with people thinking that if I don't translate it into my mother tongue, I don't know what it means. And they mm-hmm. don't trust that if they know what it means in terms of objects moving around the table, they know what it means.
Mm-hmm. That's total physical response.
That's total fit. That's
you
the whole point.
You talk about the object that is in front of you, and you move the object back and forth, and
yeah.
the language attaches itself to the actual actions
right.
that are going on in reality.
And it worked. And he had the moment. And if you translate it into your mother tongue, it's going to acquire a whole bunch of connotations and associations that are simply untrue for the word. They just are not accurate,
mm-hmm.
you know? So why just leave it simple, untranslated, but in the purity of what it actually means, if it means anything.
Let the actions speak for themselves.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's like asking what the number one means. Oh, well, it means uno. You know, like,
what
no,
does uno
doesn't.
Mean?
You know, like, we'll chase this around in a circle,
right.
but you give me a single object.
Right, I'm going to give you $1, one pen,
yeah,
one stick, one glass.
We can work with that, you know? But what doesn't matter what a word means in terms of another language, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I did a shorter version of that where mm-hmm. I was like, you had that moment and then you gave it up. You gave that moment back to Evan.
Right.
And you asked him to take it away from you. And so, of course, he did because you were hunting for it and you wanted, you know. But the thing is you had it. And he was like, yeah, yeah. And it's like, so the urge to get the translation, I want you to just notice that. Now, I'm going to be doing this again. I'm going to set up another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not well set up enough, and if that's why you wanted the translation, well, I'll reset it up better. Or it's a sorry, Charlie, and mm-hmm. you move on.
Which means I need a better setup.
Yeah, which just means better
right.
setup some other time.
Right.
You know, maybe you just need more fluency and fluent proficiency.
Exactly.
You know? And he's like, okay. So then I set it up for the witch, you know,
mm-hmm.
the ook, you
yeah.
know? And this time, I mean, the thing about that word in Chinook is it's like, you set it up well enough, and it's like, well, duh. Like, I was
yeah.
dying for that word.
Right, right.
You know, it's right. sort of like when we play Where Are Your Keys, and I will trade you my stone for, you know, it's like, you know, like, everybody knows exactly what you need, you
uh-huh.
know? So that word is, like, really handy. And then you can play this game where, like, we did play this fun game where, like, there's a rock, two pens on top of a stick that are on top of a table. So you can do all kinds of stuff. Is the rock on top of the stick, which is below the red pen, which is next to the black pen, right? Or is it the table is under the stick, under the black pen, which is next to the red pen, which is next to the rock, which is above the stick, which is above the table? Like, you could chase it around.
Right,
it's like
right,
an
right.
M.C. Escher thing,
yeah.
you know? I mean,
down,
it really just worked
down.
The heck out of it,
yeah.
right? And, you know, and so we played that, like, once he had that piece of structure, you know, I just was like, go for it, work it, stretch it, do all the stuff, and really had a good time. And that's really what we spent our time doing, was like just getting comfortable with the fact that we're not translating this word, but you know what it means. You know it in your bones now. It's like, duh. And it's like nice to have. It's not just that you know what it means, but it fills a vacuum.
Yeah.
You
a
know?
Solid place in your mind.
Yeah.
That says, this is the information I need. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now I can wield the language.
Yeah. And so so he had, you know, like, now I really feel pretty good about the fact that now he's knows to protect his, oh, okay, moments when it's like, I got it. And I have this urge to translate it, but you know what? I got it.
Instead of translating, I'm going to play it now.
I'm just going to play
it. I'm going to work
it,
and I'm
exactly.
going to work it, and I'm going to work it to make, just to let my brain know that
exactly.
I do actually have it.
Which is actually, you know, and I have lots of plans to do that with several words, like
mm-hmm.
pieces of structure similar to that. In Chinook, like, I have these set up conversations that I've yet to get to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some I'm working on, but most
right.
I'm yet to get to, because I'm like, you can't translate it, so I don't know the limits of how it is used.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
there's words in Chinook that mean for, with, at, you know, or, I mean, you can't translate
right,
them. So
right.
where's the borders? What are the relationships?
Mm-hmm.
What situations are exceptions? What aren't?
Mm-hmm.
You can only do that by playing with it with a fluent fool. And,
to know what the exceptions are.
Yeah, and look for the fluent fool to go, you know, wrinkle their eyebrows, and you go, ah, okay.
There's the limit.
Now correct me, you know,
mm-hmm.
or get them, make
right.
them say the right way.
Right.
You know? So that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
Well, and I'd like to really give Ryan props for you know, when he came into the to the workshop, then, you know, that lingering question was, well, how do we apply this to a spoken language?
Yeah.
And then we said, well, come to Chinook Night, and he did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after just a couple of times, so this was tonight his third time?
Yeah.
So his third time, he's doing great.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing great. I don't really want to compare him to other people.
No,
because
that would be
in
politic.
So, but really, really wielding the language quite well.
Well, it's kind of unfair. I mean, what we gave him two solid days of language training. And so there's not nothing that goes on here is about comparing people's proficiency.
Right.
Because that contravenes we'll all get there together.
Exactly.
But he's definitely emerging as like really like someone who soon when he shows up, he can really start helping other people.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, wow. I mean, he could start doing that now.
Well, and here's what I've been doing specifically is I've been saying, hey, Willem, you go with Ryan.
Yeah.
Because I really want you to be playing with someone who's playing back and has that real ability then to play. Because I know the two of you are going to cook up some great stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not sure what it is yet. Sure. I don't know what you guys are going
to
do.
Dude, I was so close to doing the family conversation with them.
I saw you picking up the pictures. I saw you going, not yet. I think that was a great choice, by the way. Great choice to really get him comfortable with what he already knows and really get that solid.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but... Oh man,
sweet. He knows how to say photograph. We started touching that, and then you know it's time.
Yeah. But really, and the other great thing about Ryan is that he is really honoring that come when you can.
Right.
Come in for 15
Drop
minutes.
Drop in. Superman 3. Every little opportunity you get, just take it.
Yeah.
There's no time is small enough. No time is insignificant.
No. And if you're like in the neighborhood and you can somehow squeeze it into your schedule in, you know, during the 4 to 8 Wednesday night, you walk in the room, say hello, turn around and walk out. That will increase your fluency.
Yeah.
you will benefit from that.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think Ryan's a great example of how that's working out nicely for him. So, and I'm really happy that, I mean, I mean, the only thing I can say is I wish he could come longer because then he could start teaching people.
I know, exactly. To really be a language, I mean, really, to be develop his language hunting skills, he's got to be able to hunt language into the other people here somehow at some point. And if that's by cooking up a conversation with me that then I can share later, you know.
Right.
But it's not about him coming here for a half hour to trophy hunt the language.
Right.
You know, whatever he sits down and I explore together, it's making me a more effective language hunter trainer, you know.
Exactly.
And it's going to make him more able to, you know.
Exactly.
Help other folks out.
Well, and my anticipation, my thought is that pretty soon, by you running him through these lessons, that you are really becoming adept at handling is really kind of rewiring how maybe we're teaching this.
Uh-huh.
Because now you're getting better and better at the setup and what comes next.
Yeah.
What are the bite-sized pieces?
Yeah.
By taking someone who knows what's going on and then running them through these bite-sized pieces, I think you're developing even a better sense of what those bite-sized pieces are and how quickly can we do this.
Sure.
Well, if you can do that with him, then the chances are very soon he's going to be able to turn around and do that with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're going to be coaching him.
Right.
And at that point, I'm actually kind of obsolete.
That's
wonderful that you know, that would happen. And now I'm just coming in for technical advice. Like,
exactly.
Flip that word. You know?
Now you're really managing the room rather than, you know.
Right. Right, and then watching these conversations develop. And I'm sure that, you know, I would say that, you know, Ryan comes back maybe 3 more times.
Yeah.
And you guys just go with what you're going. Just go. I bet you on that 4th time, you know, then I think it might be a good idea to say, okay, now you teach this to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we don't get him too far off in the distance where he forgets the what is that conversation.
Absolutely.
And still has a memory of the baby steps that you fed him.
Sure.
But really, what's your perception on that? What's your take?
Oh, I agree.
Maybe
I agree.
That 3
I
times?
Think that's a good point. It's a point I might actually have missed if I had given, you know, like I say, I err on the side of go, 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 go. So I think that's an excellent point.
Do you think about three times is about, like, another three times is a good number to really get you guys?
Sure.
Because I don't want to break your pattern either. Sure. Of just, like, bam, filling somebody with language. Right. Just
right.
Lightning speed.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, three more times, we'll get a lovely distance. I mean, we'll definitely get deep into the family conversation.
Hmm.
We'll be talking about people and colors and, you know, more colors. Right. He's already got a few colors. But.
Oh, what's he got? Red, black?
White.
White, red, black, white?
Mm-hmm. Great. So when Ryan called full, right, I just let the space sort of settle. And I was like, great, you're full. So we switch into English, and I was like, okay. Now, there's this thing I've been noticing. You know, you are just fine and dandy at language hunting. You're doing language hunting all over the place in the context of this conversation. You know what you're doing. But when you come here and I ask you, so who have you been hunting? You haven't found anybody, you know, or you didn't find your favorite language. And, you know, this is obviously something you and I have discussed a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Evan, you yes. and I have discussed, right? So I was like, okay, this is what I want you to start doing. You have friends who speak all kinds of languages. I mean, I know that, right? I want you to pick one of those friends. Actually, I want you to pick a bunch of those friends who speak languages that you don't have any particular personal interest in learning. You have no investment at all in it. And I want you to hunt that language. If you're sitting at a cafe and you've got an hour, hunt the crap out of that language for an hour. Who cares, right? See how far, just for the play of honing your language hunting. Not necessarily to learn their language, although fine if you do. Yeah, I mean, that's fun. But I, especially for languages that you don't have any personal investment, right? Just hunt the sucker, right? And do that a bunch of times and then bring it back here and hunt it into me, right? Show me what you got, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, you know, when you come here, there, even though Ryan, so you just mentioned that Ryan is doing very well,
mm-hmm.
yeah. extraordinarily well.
Yeah.
And we know that's because he's been to our workshop,
right?
And so in spite of that, I still can notice that the edge to his language honing, or the edge to his language hunting is getting dulled. Like between visits, it's dulling. And so part of when he comes here for that half hour is me sharpening it up again. And that's
it's time.
That's a loss of a Superman 3 penny.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like
certainly.
You know, like he needs to come to me with a sharp edge on his language hunting. There's no reason not to.
Yeah.
And the only way to give it a sharp edge is to use it. And if he waits for his favorite language, right? And I believe he's hunting Scots Gaelic,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe, you know, a couple others. But certainly it seems like the ones he's hunting aren't accessible to him at the time. So if he waits for those, it's just going to dull. So
he doesn't have access to this, to his, it's Scots Gaelic that he's looking
yes.
for? Yeah,
yeah,
he doesn't
have
access to anybody.
You know, it's like
that.
Books.
Right.
He's got books lying
right,
around,
right,
whatever.
Right,
so
right.
I'm hunt, you know, hunt live game. You know, wow, that's sort of many layers to that. Yeah, you know,
but I like what you're saying about the
mm-hmm.
idea that just hunt for the hunt's sake,
mm-hmm.
and not have really not to have any attachment to the language that you are hunting.
Yes,
because that way you're not going to be worried about doing it right the first time.
Absolutely.
Because you like, oh man, I really need to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
So I better do this right the first time. So that means I'm going to wait to make sure that I'm ready.
Yeah,
and that I'm not screwing it up. I mean, if we could give people that just sense of, you know, you can't make a mistake.
Right.
Just go.
Just do
it. Then I would say, absolutely, go find your target language and go for it.
Yeah.
But you certainly are going to be able to hone your skill in a coffee shop in
ridiculously.
A half an hour, sitting with a friend that you've invited out to coffee and just say, hey, I want to do this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try and pull some Arabic
right.
out
right.
of it. I want to try and hunt some, you know, Portuguese,
right?
Or you know, you pick the language, but then just to experience, how am I going to set this up?
Yeah,
I'm at a coffee shop. Gonna need a stick.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden it's all I need to know this. Yeah, yeah.
Quick, go grab one.
Yeah,
and then there's going to be
start
a little hustle.
The right?
There's going to be a little bit of like, okay, well, this is in front of you and this is in front of me. Oh, but we're sitting at the window seat of the coffee shop.
Right.
Lots of distraction. We're going to need a booth.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
the next time he invites somebody,
yeah.
he's going to say, oh, let's get a
go
booth.
To the booth. Yeah.
and that's where he's going to start, is at the booth. So and just going through that is enough to keep his edge sharp.
Exactly. Experiencing all the chaos that can ruin a limit or ruin a setup or ruin an obviously, and like, oh, I'm going to have to be prepared for that and that and that. And it's like, that's how you keep the edge sharp.
Well, and by ruin, it's like, how fast? It's not like the whole day's a wash.
And
you know, and that there's, you know, terror and screams as people are, you know, running out of the coffee shop.
And certainly whatever extent you use even a single technique, it's still, you're going faster than before.
Yeah.
You know, use five techniques in a half-assed way, you're going faster than before, you know? So, you know, it isn't really ruin. It's like blunting the technique, it's decelerators, you know, these decelerators. But I haven't even gotten to the good part yet. So I'm telling Ryan all this, and he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I think he works at a Montessori school.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Teaches a bunch of kids. Most of them have different mother languages than English.
What?
Yes. So some speak Hindi. Some speak, I don't even remember it was like, started with a H, some other India subcontinent language, right? So I was like, dude, you could have them playing What Is That with each other, different of them leading games in their own languages. You could like have language hunting madness at your school. Yeah, isn't that funny? I was like, you have a mission. You are deputized.
Right now, just so that the home audience knows, I am resting my head in sort of on my hands, resting on the table. I can describe the look I have on my face.
Shocked.
Yeah. And not shocked at the what a waste.
Yeah, yeah.
Shocked at the potential.
Yeah, the opportunity
that's there.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, to have little kids.
Yeah.
To asking each other, what's that?
Ideal environment. 9 and 10 years old.
What?
Yeah.
They're 9 and 10?
Yeah. Yeah, he could really train a squad in there, you know? Yeah.
How many?
I don't know how many.
Wow.
More than a few. I mean, definitely classroom. He's
a classroom.
Yeah, yeah, you know, so.
10, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he could have, like, you know, 20 language children in there.
Right there.
Yeah, right there.
They
could learn all of each other's language. They could learn the language in the classroom next door. They could just start going willy-nilly. Yeah.
Like, if there's at least two languages in there. Like, in 1 year, you could easily have a group of kids like that. Uh-huh. In a single year, you could easily have a group of kids like that fluent in two languages.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Probably three.
Yeah.
If they have this really good sense of play that, you know, Montessori has built in.
And that's, I mean, there's that Montessori thing again. Right. They seem to really appreciate the value of Wear Your Keys.
Yeah.
You know, Montessori instructors, definitely.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, so that, and the other thing I'm really amazed about is that they're 9 and 10.
Yeah.
I thought that he worked with little ones, like 3, 4, 5 or something like that.
9 and 10.
Now, the thing with the 3, 4-year-olds, the 4, 5-year-olds, that's great. No, they're little sponges, sure.
Yeah.
But it's easy in, easy out.
Yeah.
There's certainly a thing in language acquisition that says that if you can take a child through their puberty years in a second language, they will retain it.
Yes.
A kid before that transition, easy in, easy out.
Right.
After that transition, more difficult to get in.
Yeah.
But through that transition,
there
is a massive amount of retention that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that age group is just perfect. And for another reason.
Yeah.
They actually have a developed skill in their mother tongue.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And a 45-year-old, they're still kind of like, mama, want milk. Right. Want to go bed now.
Right.
You know, sometimes kids are still, they're not quite able to really talk about stuff that happens. And the evidence is when, you know, a kid comes in who's like, let's say a 5-year-old kid comes in from playing outside bleeding and is now pointing outside and screaming. You know, mom knows that brother did something to that kid, but it's really unclear. It's really the actual story. So, yeah, it's just sort of, it gets muddly. But a 9-year-old? A 10-year-old, he'll lay it out for you. He'll tell you exactly what happened in order. What?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to provoke it, and then suddenly out of nowhere.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. So that 9 to 10-year-old actually have a command of language in their mind. They know what to do with it, how to wield it. So certainly, but the beauty about the 9 and 10-year-olds is that they still have gameplay. They still have recess. Mm-hmm. And when they go out on recess, you know, the crazy thing, elementary school recesses, lots of screaming and yelling and laughing and chasing and, you know, lots of action going on. Middle school recess, a lot of boys playing, like, basketball stuff and that kind of thing. Girls in, like, lumps.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah, right.
And texting. And doing, you know, like, and then high school, God, there's just no play there. They're just, like, you know, in these circles around the playground. I don't know, smoking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes. So that's out back in the high school
building. Yeah, right. That's not by the dumpster.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, but still not playing.
No, at all. Right.
No, that's gone. But yeah, the 9 and 10 year olds certainly still
have all kinds of capacities really fully developed and
ready and aren't to go. Scarred by, you know, too much trauma, you know, down the line. So when they screw up, they're like, whatevs.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. So I look forward to hearing what Ryan does with that.
Yeah, I bet you he could pull a couple languages out of those kids without them even really knowing it.
Right.
It's like, okay, it's Teach Ryan Day.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Hunt Hindi, man. Yeah. Hunt some Hindi. Are you crazy?
Yeah, what, you don't want to be trilingual by the time you're done with this job?
what did we do?
Yeah, not getting on your ride.
I'm just saying, I know. Karumba. Right. Well, you know, I mean, that's part of that. Like, I had that moment, like, oh, I need a good surface. You know, I can't put the stick on my knee to play What Is That? Because it falls off. You know, like, those very simple sort of, they end up later seeming kind of duh, but they're not. I mean, that's why we have technique, obviously, because obviously is not so obvious.
No.
To do obviously, actually, people think you're supposed to trick other folks into learning, not like joyously bring them along on the ride, you know, and make everything as simple and clear and actually make it too easy and cheat, you know? Yeah. Like, so this is really,
okay, you know? You ever see those old ninja movies, right? And there's like a whole pack of ninjas and they run up against a wall.
Uh-huh.
Well, they don't all just stop and stare at each other.
Yeah.
They just instantly form this sort of pyramid thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they send one guy over the wall.
Yeah.
And then he grabs his hand down,
uh-huh.
grabs the next guy. Uh-huh. And then they start doing this thing where they like jumping jack up the wall until they get the last guy up. It's like this crazy ants just up and over the wall.
Yeah.
There's no thinking. There's up and over you.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of ability to play.
Yeah, it's like contact improv. You know, just like we're all together sharing energy, moving it around, sharing knowledge and ability, and there's just no borders between what I know and you know. You know, we'll all get there together. I also noticed that Thomas's game he was running of Kanchi Hayu that you asked him to start running.
Yeah.
Like how many? How many conversation? And that Where Your Keys circle.
While we were over here interviewing.
While we were interviewing Kirsten.
Uh-huh.
The energy thing again.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Everybody was really peaked, great energy, and at the end of the night, warmth and wanted to stay. Nobody wanted to leave. I think there's really like a, you know, we kind of have a, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fantastic.
Old Faithful, that sort of developing a structure for this night, you know. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that.
So I got to tell you something about the walk that started happening. So Abby was running the walk.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that, you know, I've been trying to get Abby to run the walk now for these last couple of times, get her comfortable with running walks and that kind of thing. You know, about 10 minutes into it, I was really trying to avoid being the person that people were asking things of because I wanted Abby to be the one running the show. And pretty soon people started doing that. And then for the first time, people started doing the patterns that we do.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and during the walk, you know, we stop, we make a circle.
Yeah.
We say, come here, go over there, come here, go over there, come here, go over there.
Yeah.
And then we go over there.
Yeah.
And then we stop and look at something.
Yeah.
And then, well, who sees the white tree?
Yeah.
And I see the white tree. Where's the white tree? It's right there.
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon, other people started running the walk.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even a thing where, like, Abby didn't lose control of the walk. It wasn't even a thing. It was just like, people just knew, like, oh, this is the stop. Okay, I'm going to call stop.
Oh, right.
Because, well, nobody's called stop yet, so I'm going to be the one that calls stop.
So the community ownership kicked in. All
it
right.
It kicked in.
Yeah.
It kicked in. People came to the crosswalk where we go, now we go across the road.
Yeah, yeah.
To get to the other side. And right. then, you know, whoever got to the end corner. Of the sidewalk, yeah. to the corner first, yelled stop.
Wow.
So it was this thing where everybody then started...
That's great.
Running the walk.
Well, and that's, you know, that's really cool. I'm really glad. That's a really, really, really big deal.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, that's community ownership, you know, and right. I was, you know.
Well, and to have enough people that are trained,
mm-hmm.
that can run conversations,
uh-huh.
that we can say, you know, hey, let's
it's come like over a critical the mass. There's yeah. a critical mass happening, you know. Mm-hmm.
That we can just say, hey, well, let's you and I just go off in the corner. Hey, can you guys run this? Oh, yeah, sure. What do you want? Oh, okay, do this. Okay.
Yeah, do how many, and we'll be over here.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's...
And there's always somebody who can use how many.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many sticks are there? Are there one stick in front of you
yeah,
and
yeah,
ten
yeah.
in front of me? Or,
yeah,
you know, there's always somebody in the crowd who can use a little booster in that.
Yeah.
And if there's somebody in the crowd who can use a booster, then there's somebody in the crowd who could, you know, use an experience with teaching it.
Yeah.
There's always that. So, yeah, so that's certainly... That kicking in.
Yeah. Yeah. Another good night.
Mm-hmm.
No, our fluent fool didn't show up.
Nope.
Henry.
Nope.
He wasn't here.
Nope.
A very experienced and wise,
Henry?
Quote-unquote, fluent fool didn't show up. So, I mean, that actually put a kibosh on the family conversation. Because,
mm-hmm.
I had a plan for if Henry didn't show up, what I would do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. Well, we also didn't have like the other critical mass of more experienced speakers to be able to cook that conversation.
True.
So
yeah, we were missing a couple folks like yeah. Peter and yeah.
and Pulikley.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that would have been a handy thing. But yeah.
All right.
Next time. Good night.
Yeah. Good night. That was Evan and I debriefing our night of Chinook Wawa conversation. You've been listening to episode 13 of the Wear Your Keys podcast with me, Willem Larson, recorded on April 2nd, 2010. Thanks for listening.